Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
What are we doing? We're watching one of the Narnia movies? Okay, I'm going to go out and score some crack. I am not sitting in the house watching Narnia. I just can't do it. It's a magic closet. Oh, my God.
It's Mike Schoep.
First time I was ever introduced to Bulldog, the first thing that was said about him was he doesn't like swords or magic.
And the Bulldog.
Lord of the Rings, you could... I would sooner have you hit me in the face with a baseball bat than sit down and watch a Lord of the Rings movie.
What if I told you when I was in seventh grade, me and my friend had a race who could watch the first Lord of the Rings movie when it came out, approximately 2003, 20 times?
I would say, good for you. You found your wheelhouse. It's something you like. I would rather swallow 24 ball bearings than go watch that movie.
On WGR.
Wizardry, warlocks, magic, like, go to hell.
Sports Radio 550.
No interest in it. That's what you're trying to say. That's what it sounds like.
That
you mean.
I hope the point was made. Yeah.
Well, it's not like the Sabres offseason so far has been exactly dull. They didn't have a GM.
Fired
and
everybody.
For a long time, they didn't have a coach either.
Right.
So that, you know, if you have that happen, which we've had a lot in our teams, you got something to talk about. But they have not yet done the big thing, whether that will happen at all or not. Evander Kane, I think if somebody listening has a bead on why Darren Dreger and maybe a couple other of those guys have mentioned trading Robin Lehner, I'd like to hear what you think that is. Not just, you know, that what anybody could say whether they think Robin Lehner is good, but that is there really some plan to do that? Like looking at the whole league, we've talked about that some today. Either I'm not sure there are going to be goalies out there. Does somebody want Robin Lehner instead of their guy? He's probably going to get paid maybe $4 million for at least a couple of years. Maybe the Sabres will do that, and maybe they'll want to first.
Yeah,
but it sounds like somebody's talking out there like they don't want to. So I wonder. You do have a trade on Saturday, and time will tell how significant it is. They pay a third-round pick to get Nathan Beaulieu from Montreal. The pick is so small in value that, you know, why not? And you need new guys. This guy played, you know, he was a regular for Montreal for much of the season, right. Not at the end when he was in the press box for their last game. But I'm cool with this. I'm impressed that this deal got made.
Young, good size, moves well. You know, just your current NHL style defenseman. You know, whether or not he proves to be a significant upgrade over what the Sabres had out there last year, you know, remains to be seen. It certainly is worth trying to see if he is that. And the price was certainly not prohibitive. I'm of the mind to certainly be complimentary about the trade, given the fact that none of the big names that were talked about defenseman-wise got moved in advance of the trade freeze, the roster freeze. The Anaheim guys are staying put. It looks like there's a lot of reporting that they've got a deal made with Vegas to not take either of their guys, so they didn't feel the urgency to trade one of them. So like that's taken care of. The Minnesota didn't trade a guy. They've got some names on the list that might hurt to lose, but they didn't make a move to protect themselves and try to get an asset back. Maybe the prices just weren't attractive enough. Maybe a team like Minnesota just went, if you're going to try to fleece me because you know I got to move a guy, I'll just take my chances that maybe he won't take the guy I want. Or, you know, maybe Minnesota's got a deal just like Anaheim does, and we just haven't heard it yet, has been reported.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is certainly possible. So the point there was, excuse me, I set out to say, if none of those guys get moved, and the best I could do was get a third or second pair at best defenseman from Montreal, I'd say third pair right now anyway, because, you know, he was not a stalwart for them or anything. So I don't think he has to end up being that, but that's at least where I think he'd start out on my team. Been fine. I did. I at least got a defenseman. I needed to come into this draft season and upgrade my blue line, and there's still opportunity to maybe do something else once the roster freeze and the trade freeze expires after the draft, the expansion draft, in advance of the regular draft, the entry draft. Maybe I can still do something else, but at least I've got another guy to go with Antepin and maybe Brandon Gouley if he gets here. So I can't sit here and say, like, Bottrell didn't try to do something. Maybe he did the only thing there was to be done, and he didn't pay a steep price to do it. So, yeah, I'm good there. The Leonard thing is interesting to me. Like, I don't know. Some people are spitballing with us on Twitter when we brought this up earlier that it's some sign to Cal Peterson. Like, we're not committing to Robin Leonard. Look, the job is yours. But that doesn't really do anything for me this year, you know? I mean, unless the Sabres are of the mind to not really worry about it for this year, that they want Peterson so badly that they wouldn't worry about having a proven number one goaltender for this season, then, because, you know, Cal Peterson to me isn't ready to show up and be my number one goalie. He played college hockey for the last 4 years. I'm expecting him to need to go to Rochester, the last 3 years anyway. So that doesn't really line up, but that doesn't mean they're not trying to entice him. Like, look, we're not committing to someone. They could just go trade for someone and hope that someone in Ullmark can get them through the season in a credible fashion and then, you know, have the deck cleared for Peterson in a year. I mean, I don't know. That's not my favorite theory. I mean, but it's one that's being offered, and I can't say it's not true, but I find it kind of doubtful that they would put themselves at risk of not having a number one goalie. That's what they'd be doing if they moved Leonard.
I mean, it's self-evident, but you just, with Murray gone and Botterill in, who knows what the plans are? I mean, just, does it even need to be explained? Probably not. Like, just Murray trades for Kane. Maybe he wants to trade Kane, but whatever he does is compared with what he paid for him and then put on him. On Murray, Here's how you did there. Here's the scoreboard on that. And Botterill doesn't have to worry about that at all. Or with Leonard. If he gets a second, I have no idea. I'm not thinking about what his value is. If it gets a second round pick for Robin Leonard, Murray doesn't do that. But if Botterill has some other plan, then he can do that. And no one cares that they paid a first for him the first time and now only got a second back.
Yep.
Montreal trades this Beaulieu for a third. That was a first-round pick of theirs 5 years ago, and that's the same GM. So if you're watching Montreal, you go, this guy drafted him in the first round and traded him for a third. I mean, it's 5 years later, And that's, I suppose, what he was worth. But it's not the same conversation. Botterill can do anything he wants to this roster. And these guys who we're all talking about today or have been talking about, be that Kane, Leonard, the expansion draft guys, that's Carrier, that's Bogosian, who's available there. Molson is available there, even if you want to include him, although that seemed like a no-brainer to put him on that list.
No.
All guys that Murray acquired, signed, traded for, and it just there's no reflection on the Sabres for what happens, the current management for what happens with any of those guys. So he does protect Ennis.
Right, and that is a Murray contract, too. Yeah.
It is. It's not a Murray pick.
Right.
But he does protect Ennis, who's produced so little in the last couple of years. Why? I don't say that because it's such a bad idea, necessarily. Is there more to the story? Is there, and Paul will be on with us, Paul, I think, thinks this, or at least considers it, that Carrier is there so that Vegas doesn't take Ullmark, the goalie. And so they won't take Ennis. They want Carrier because he's cheaper and maybe
younger. Yeah, right.
They just like him more. So maybe that's right. I don't know that anybody knows that.
It's believable to me that the Sabres would be motivated to protect their goaltending asset. You know, this Peterson situation is, even if you were trying and even motivated to let him know that you're not committing to Leonard, you still don't know that you're going to get the player. I mean, there is still that. Like, he's He's now, what are we, 11 days away from unrestricted free agency for Cal Peterson. Like, he'll be able to pick anywhere he wants to go. The money is going to be the same wherever he chooses. But this is just like the VC thing from last summer, just the timing is a little different. That was the middle of August, and this is the beginning of July. But so I don't have certainty there. And if I don't know that I'm going to have him, like, Omark is it for young goalie, ready to play in the NHL anyway, at least even be a backup. That's where he's at. Beyond that, in the organization, I mean, it's just they don't have anyone that's really ready. Johansson has been signed, and he'll come and play in Rochester next year. He's a Swedish goalie like Omark is, but that's a couple of years away still. So I would understand them wanting to protect a young goalie, even if they have to expose him to the expansion draft. And by protect, I mean meet some criteria for Vegas to take something rather than take the goalie.
803-0550, if you have an opinion on what the Sabres did or are doing here. I love this for Vegas. We've talked about this so many days in the last while, what happens with this expansion draft. And it's more interesting to me from their standpoint than ours as a Sabres fan. Like, the Sabres really, it's not that, as the teams go, it's not that interesting of a team for this, Buffalo. But Vegas, like, they just run the show here, and they have two more days of coolness, and then they just become probably the worst roster in the league once they actually pick the thing on Wednesday. But, fine, there are benefits. And what else can you make happen? How many first-round picks could they possibly get to? It's being talked about that it's going to be at least four. Maybe six, seven, maybe more.
Their own Columbus. Is Anaheim assumed to be a first-round pick for not taking the defenseman?
I don't know if it's assumed. You have the Islanders in here, too.
No.
You might have Nashville, possibly. I don't know.
Okay.
Anaheim, Columbus is the first team that I think is right for that, and then some collection of those other ones, and who knows what else might be happening. You wouldn't want all those in the same year.
Probably not. Probably not.
Maybe Chicago is another one. Maybe Chicago. I don't know.
Right.
It could be because there's reports that they're dealing with Chicago to get Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Marcus Kruger.
Yeah, I think you'd probably want to have, if you were getting, say, as many as six, I think you might want to space them out. You know, like 3 and 3, maybe at least to start with.
You don't want them all in the same year.
No. But teams, I think, are probably reluctant to trade away first rounders too far down the road because you might not know what your team is going to be like. And so, like, what are you really trading? Are you trading a 25th pick or the 5th pick? You know, like, that can be risky if you get much beyond a year or two looking out. Like, I don't know, if I'm running a team, I don't think I want to do that. I might think I'm on track to be really good, but I don't, you know, who knows? Injuries or whatnot, like, it just can get pretty speculative. So you'd want to treat that far in the future. I think I'd want to maybe hold those a little close and be reluctant to get much beyond, I'd say, next year's first-round pick. But that's just me.
It's a lot of fun, though. I want to be them and stock up on picks and make all these deals that everybody has been talking about, that Pierre LeBrun has been talking about, that the Vegas GM is talking about. That is how to go. Why else? Why bother being anything else? Why bother with trying to get to 80 points and be respectable and maybe compare with the best expansion teams? What's the point of that? What's that worth? Draft for 4 years out. Get the picks. Take a couple of stars or semi-stars with big money to either for leadership, for marketing, whatever it is. Eric Staal, I don't know.
Or just to get to the just to spend the money, just for appearances, right? Just to look like you're like, well, look, we didn't just pass on every name player. We took a couple name players. Like, that is the most interesting thing to me about this draft is just how much of that they do. You know, if there are, I have not pored over every team's list, so I don't have any of this memorized. All right, but like, if there's, you know, if each team has some version of Bogosian, and surely most teams have got a guy like that, like an overpriced guy, young enough, you could find some appeal there. Maybe Staal is a better example, though, like an older player, but still like a former captain, a Stanley Cup winner. Like if 15 of the teams in the league have a guy that fit that description, like, does Vegas take three of those guys, five of those guys? Like, how many of those guys do you take, you know, just to sort of try to look good? You know, you're going to want, if you're choosing a guy for veteran character, leadership, you're going to want him to be happy about coming there. Otherwise, that negates the first part. You know, if you're choosing the guy to be a good guy in the room and he's unhappy because his kids are getting pulled out of school, or he just isn't at a time in his life when he wants to go spend the twilight of his career competing for last place, then that negates the value of getting the player in the first place. You know, like, that's the kind of homework you got to be doing. You don't just like want to take a guy and assume it's going to work and he'll be happy there.
What's it like to be on the block here for these 2 days? Like, Bogosian, just for the sake of discussion, what's it like to be him?
Like,
you know, a free agent gets to pick his spots.
Right.
Anybody can be traded, but there really aren't that many trades outside of that one day. Here is Bogosian, or maybe other players more so. I think of him first as having been in the league more. Am I going to be moving there in a week? Like, am I really doing that?
He's got a young family. Like, I wonder how much certainty he has. You know, like, I wonder if he knows, or if his agent knows. My inkling would be yes, that there wouldn't be a lot of uncertainty. If the Sabres have a deal for them to take a certain player, Carrier, as to not take the goalie.
You think he would know
then
about
it? I think probably he would know. That Botterill would tell his agent, like, hey, tell Zach not to worry about it. We're leaving him out there. It's all set. Like, I don't want, because if you're going to have the guy still here, I think you'd want to smooth over any potential for him to be, like, feeling unwanted, you know, as silly as that might sound. I mean, it wouldn't be a good feeling if you're under contract for the money that Bogosian is, and you have a certain opinion of yourself, and you're sitting out there dangling on the wire. I think if it is known that you should, if you can get assurance, I don't see any reason why the team wouldn't give you that. Like, if they know, if Jason Botterill knows as best he can, like, I've got to deal with this guy, don't worry, you're not getting picked, I think you'd want to tell the guy, just so he's not walking around for a week going, I don't know what's going to happen. We might be going to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking for homes. Like, I don't know, whatever. Whatever you'd be doing if you're thinking you could be going there.
So, like, of all cities.
Right.
Maybe as big of an adjustment as there would be in the league, depending on, like, not if you're on Arizona, but for most of the league.
Right.
Lifestyle, climate.
Yeah.
Just it's a city. There's no city like it. You know, you were there.
Uh-huh.
You've been there.
Yep.
Somehow Ryan has not been there yet.
I haven't. It's on the bucket list of cities to visit. And
still young.
I mean, yeah, I'm only 25, so that's, I got fine. some prime years ahead of me still.
Do you have to be a certain age to call it a bucket list?
No.
Not to tempt fate.
Yeah.
Like, he's 25. Can you listen to bucket list for that?
It's never too early to start the bucket list. You got to know what you got to. It's a to-do list.
Can my kids have a bucket list?
Sure, why not?
I got to get to.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I got to get to Anderson's before. I mean, just.
That's an easy
one.
What's
on their bucket list?
That's an easy one. It's nice to get these things crossed off your list.
Their bucket list is spaghetti that daddy doesn't eat when it's leftovers. That's on their bucket list.
Their bucket list is Chuck E. Cheese and a beach.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I did not, when I certainly, speaking for myself, when I was 25, was not thinking about a bucket list. There were places I wanted to go, and I often went to those places, but it wasn't with the mind of, like, I'm checking off a list.
I got to get there soon. You felt like you had time.
Yeah, I don't even know. I can't really cop to having a list.
It wasn't even a term then.
Right.
That was 70 years ago.
Wow. I don't necessarily have like a bucket list. I guess it's more so what you're saying. I have these things that I know I want to do that I would like to accomplish at some point, but there's no pressing.
I don't want to have a list. A list is just going to create pressure I don't need. Like I'm going to feel like I got to do this. I got to do these things. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it freaks me out when I owe you $50. I don't need a list. I don't need to be looking at a list and be thinking like, someday I better get to London. I mean, I know I want to go. If putting it on a list, does that make it more likely to happen?
Well, it depends.
It's more of a figurative list, you know? It's just it's something that's in your head. I don't think you have it necessarily written down anywhere. Right. It's not written, so you shouldn't feel that pressure. It's just something that you know you want to accomplish before you know.
Right. You know, what is the number one thing on yours? Because I don't know if I even have one.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is that I want that I don't have.
I guess Europe. I've never been to Europe. So I think Europe, but I'd like to do
but
that.
But you're not making any plans to go there.
No.
You have no plan out there. Like, we're going in 5 years, not even that.
No. No, definitely not. We are having dinner tonight for our anniversary. Maybe this is something we will talk about, like setting a plan to do that.
Do you think it would be good to talk about it?
I mean,
you would have done it before if you thought it was that good of an idea. Let's really pin down... let's talk about this. When are we going? Do you want to go? Is this important to you?
This might be this whole bucket list conversation and my reluctance to consider it might be the impetus for the conversation actually happening. Like, it might get dragged into the center of the ring now, because, you know, if we don't make a plan, it's never going to happen. So it's just not like, I know we haven't been on a vacation in many years now. Facebook is really good at reminding me, like, hey, 6 years ago, you were here. Like, oh, thanks.
Right.
Like, I need that. Like, that's a reverse bucket list. Hey, it's been this long since you went to the ocean, idiot. Thanks, Facebook. Making me feel real good. And I know, like, that sort of vacation is out there before I'm going to Europe, I think. Like, the pressure as a family to take one of these St. John, Virgin Islands, whatever, vacations is there. Like, that's happening before I go to Europe. So, I don't know. Europe's going to have to wait.
Can your bucket list be things you've already done?
Because
I'm sitting here thinking, like, what do I want to do next that's a thing that would be, like, sort of a goal for me? And I thought, I want to go back to the Pirates game.
Right?
I just did that a month ago. I want to go to another Pirates game.
That's my bucket count. List.
Does it have to be things you've never done?
It has to be things you've never done. It has to be first time.
Maybe
things.
The Twins. Maybe go see the Twins is on my bucket list.
It's a new ballpark. Newer, anyway.
I don't know. Am I supposed to want to go to China?
Sure.
I guess. I mean,
Do you want to go to China?
No, I don't care at all if I ever go to China.
All right, then don't put it on your bucket list.
Then I won't.
Wow. This show.
Fine. Ryan, if you're just tuning in, Ryan just talked me out of putting going to China on my bucket list.
That's it.
Because he really didn't want to all along.
He has that sort of power. Paul Hamilton after the update here on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Well, we drank a lot of whiskey, so I don't know if we went on that night at all. But I don't think they even missed us. I guess Buffalo ain't geared for me and Paul.
All right, Paul, so everything we just went through there, the protected list, the trade for Beaulieu, all of it. I guess those are the two things, Sabre-related, really, to start with. Which is more interesting to you? What's the biggest development here of the last 2+ days?
I was mildly surprised they did not protect Carrier, but that tells me that there is a good chance that there is an agreement with Vegas. And if you want to speculate, I mean, the conversation could have gone, we're going to take your goaltender, Allmark, and Botterill's like, well, I'd like to keep my goaltender, Allmark. I don't have a lot of depth in goal. He's a young goalie coming off a all-star year in the AHL. I prefer not to give you a bunch of draft picks or anything like that. And then Vegas, hey, look it. We'll leave your goaltenders alone. You give us Carrier and let us take him. Because, quite honestly, I don't see any value at all in Tyler Ennis. I don't think there's any trade value. mean, the guy's had two major concussions. Then he had the stomach surgery and the groin surgery, which took him out of most of last year. It's been 2 years now since he has played anywhere near what he's capable or used to be capable of. I just don't see a market for a player like that right now. So it wouldn't make any sense that you would protect him, because really you wouldn't have to. He's not going anywhere. But since they did and Carrier was not protected, It just makes sense that they've come to some sort of an agreement, you would think.
There it is. What you're saying, Ennis is the clue for you. Ennis is the clue, because why would Vegas pick him? So if he's protected and Carrier is not, that's a clue for you that something's up.
It is. And Carrier, to me, is a piece. When you have a good team, he's got really good speed. Every now and then he showed a little bit of an offensive touch. I think maybe as he gets a little older, maybe he could, you know, get you 10 goals or so off a fourth line. He's the type of guy that I think you'd want on your fourth line on a good team. You know, a guy that has some energy, has a little bit of touch, has some speed. I want some speed on the fourth line, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're looking at as far as him as a career. I don't think it's the end of the world if you use him. You'd like to I'd like to have him around.
Sure.
I think, as I said, but I think you can find fourth liners, and well, you can find goaltenders if you want to make that argument too. But they just don't have a lot of depth in the goaltending right now.
Yeah, that's where it starts for me, Paul. Like, I don't know that Omar is such a valued commodity that Vegas definitely would take him ahead of, you know, any number of other goalies that are available. But the trick is for the Vegas GM, George McPhee, to make Botterill think he's going to take him. Like, that's the poker game. So the lack of depth, Cal Peterson's situation, I think, is a real factor here, Paul. If the Sabres had managed to get him signed before this deadline approaching where he can choose any team he wants to go to, then I don't know that I'm all that worried. I mean, I still would like to have depth in goaltending, but I'd feel like, okay, if I've got a young guy who's a year away, maybe a year in the minors away from being my number one goalie, that's a best case scenario, I'd say, with Peterson. But not having him, the uncertainty his not being signed creates, it's like Omar is my only guy ready to even contribute in the NHL, maybe just as a backup. After that, I got nothing.
Exactly. And don't forget, too, Vegas can take as many as six goaltenders if they feel they can trade them, you know, use them as commodities, use them as cash, so to speak. So if they so choose, I mean, they'll take their two, and then you've got basically four wild card positions. You can fill them all with goalies if you want to. So, I mean, they could take six of them if they want to. They don't necessarily have to stop at two.
That is a good – I didn't realize that, and that is a cool idea. That is a cool possibility here that they – if they were to look at the board and think that that's where their most value is in trades, Mrazek to flip another guy the same, then that would really be fun. So,
and you know I've been convinced for about a year now that Allmark is going to be the guy – ever since we've been talking about this, and you know, I think that's one of what you're just talking about. Not who knows whether they're thinking of they want to use them and put them in their organization or they want to move them. Or I just feel that's kind of the guy I think I've been targeting all along that is the guy they could lose.
Paul, do you have any idea what Botterill thinks of Leonard? We have these reports that Darren Dreger's on the station the other day saying he thinks the Sabres would trade him. Do you have any beat on where that's coming from?
Well, he is on record as saying that he's fine if Leonard's a starting goaltender next year. But I think he's looking at it depending on what he could get for him. I wouldn't think that he's just trying to move him for the sake of moving him. To me, I'm kind of with Botterill that way. I have no problem with them re-signing him at a reasonable contract for a couple of years. I don't want to see a 5-6 year deal that breaks the bank or anything like that. I don't think he's earned that, but I think he has earned maybe a 2 year deal at a raise, not a huge raise, but a raise from what he was making, and that's what Botterill's on record is saying. But he may not be convinced totally that that Robin Leonard can be the number one goaltender of the future, and I think he's open to ideas. Maybe it would be the best way to put
it. Yeah, boy, I wonder if he would, just to try to connect it all, if he's open to moving Leonard, it would have to be, I think, with a caveat that there's somebody out there that he thinks he can get from Vegas after this, or from some other team, when all the dust settles here. That there's some guy out there that he likes that has some cost certainty that's more appealing, or whatever it is, because if you were to just move Robin Leonard, then like suddenly I'm at Linus Ullmark and your name here, and I really have to go shopping now. Like I'm back looking for number one goalie.
Then you know that he has a very, very high hopes for Linus Ullmark.
Yeah.
Maybe higher hopes than we do or other people do if that were the case and he were to do that. And we can go back to something you guys just mentioned a few minutes ago, the Peterson. I mean, whether you get him done or not probably would work into your decision mm-hmm. also.
That's got to be right to consider a major long shot at this point, doesn't it?
I think to sign before he becomes a free agent. I think for him it would be silly not to become a free agent, just to see what's out there, to see who's interested. And that, to me, that doesn't mean the Sabres are out of it. It just means you're exploring the options that are out there. And you could wind up coming back to the Sabres. I just don't think because he explores his options, that means he's saying no to the Sabres, unless he absolutely comes out and says that.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you were getting him signed, even if you felt confident about that, trading Leonard still, I mean, I need a number one goalie. Like, unless you're saying that you think maybe what Botra will be telling you is that he thinks Ullmark's ready to do that job, and that would be shocking, wouldn't it?
It would be to me, yes. Who knows? He could bring back Nilsson again, to get them through. You know, if he thinks I got two really good young goaltenders here, he might like what he saw in Nilsson and say, look, he and Ullmark can get me through at least for a year or maybe two, and we can see where this goes.
I would understand organizationally them trying to create the best appearance of the job being available to Peterson within the next year. So if that's the starting point for any Leonard movement idea, I want to say I would respect that. It means I might have to scramble for a year, but I think Peterson is that good of a prospect that I would contemplate that. Do you agree with that, Paul?
He is. But he's not guaranteed, and nobody is. But what I mean by that is I know Chris Baker and I have had this conversation. He doesn't even feel Peterson is the best goaltender in college hockey right now.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean he thinks he's bad.
Right.
It's just that I don't want to give the impression that this guy seems to be a guy that's just going to jump right in and go like Tom Barrasso did out of high school many years ago. I'm not saying – I've seen Peterson play maybe four times on TV, so it's hard to decide what he could do in the National Hockey League. So I don't want to close the door on the fact that maybe he could walk in and play right away. But it just from talking to people, in addition to Chris, talking to NHL people, it doesn't sound like he's quite NHL ready.
Right. I'm not, by saying what I said about making the job appear to be available, saying that I think they should give him the opportunity to be the goalie this year. What I'm saying is if you trade Leonard, what you're doing is not signing Leonard for 2 or 3 years and thus telling Peterson, go to Rochester and we'll see about 18-19. Like, we're not committing to any goalie, in other words. Like, so the job, you know, the road is clear for you is what I'm saying.
And with the Leonard talk, too, it could have been a GM who, you know, was talking to Darren Dreger or something, says, yeah, I called Buffalo. I was asking about Leonard, and I made, you know, we had talks about it and made an offer or whatever. And it just might have been a call that Botterill fielded and listened to.
Paul, before you go, there's a lot this week. Expansion draft, entry draft, which you're going to, the jerseys, the schedule. What's the most exciting part?
The exciting part is, for me, when we start getting trades and movement, I always want to see movement. I'm always disappointed when I go to the draft and I come back and all I did is interview draft picks. You know, I know that's what I'm there for.
Yes.
But I want to interview GMs talking about trades too, and so I hope that's something that happens there. To me, that would be the most exciting thing if we get there and all of a sudden Jason Bottrell has us over to the hotel lobby to tell us about a couple of moves. And Murray did us a favor. I remember in Fort Lauderdale, I was running around a lot to Murray's hotel. That's when he picked up Leonard and others. So he was active, at least in that draft.
Right. And O'Reilly, right, that
yes.
night?
Yes.
Well, you could have a situation here where Vegas gets everybody's first-round pick, and the only people in there on Friday night are Vegas. And all the other teams just don't even go because they're out.
Well, I still have to go just in case Vegas traded one of those first-round picks to Buffalo. So
you'll be on it. Whatever happens, I know you'll be on top of it. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, take care.
We have Steve Karp. We don't?
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have Steve Karp coming up at 6, 15 minutes. More on the Vegas strategies here at the expansion draft.
Where were you going there? It felt to me like you were going to say Steve Palazzolo for some reason. I don't know why you would have said that.
That's what I felt as well. I thought he was going right to Palazzolo.
I got a call today from a guy right before the show. You might have been in the room, named Steve Pace.
Ah.
And I was thinking of him.
All right,
four letters.
There was at least a thought.
I almost said Steve Pace.
Okay. Right, we picked up on that. Brian and I both picked up on the P.
Yeah, you both picked up on the P. You're right. It was definitely a P.
Okay.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. The fun is just getting started here. And we'll have Steve Karp coming up in 15 minutes on WGR.
Give me a giveaway for you right now. Caller 5-644-9878. Oh, hang on. Scratch that. Sorry. I rushed it.
Don't call.
Don't call. Please don't call. Text to win is what this contest is. 550-550. The keyword is hockey. The prize is a $25 gift card to 716 Food and Sport. Value of the prize is $25. General contest rules apply. Experience the NHL draft for yourself this week at 716.
How moderate of us to change it to a text contest.
Yeah, I apologize.
Hip.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see my joke from yesterday that I made a Twitter poll out of?
Oh,
I can't believe people.
I did see that.
Was this something about a lime and a
yes.
beer?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
So we're at the turn.
Yeah.
It was my first golf game in almost a year. I'm just never playing anymore. Got an invite, old friends, was happy to do it. We're at the turn. And yes, it's like 9 in the morning. He says, "Do you want a beer?" I said, "Of course."
Yep, it's Father's Day. Come on.
He said, "What kind do you want? What do you want?" He ran down the selection. I said, I'll have a Corona. He said, "Do you want lime?" I said, "I'm having lime for dinner." That's not funny. I am sure that that's funny. I can't believe 9% of people agree that that's funny. And 91 said it wasn't. I mean, it's not, it's of course that's funny. I'm having lime for dinner. And I've got people, just all day, yeah. I'm taking this to people. They're all telling me, "You would not have limes for dinner." I'm like, "I know, that's why it's funny."
That's the joke.
It's
yeah.
a joke. If we were talking about having a sandwich, and they said, "What do you want to have a sandwich? Like, do you want a steak sandwich?" And I go, "Oh, we're having steak for dinner." That's not funny at all.
Yeah.
Or does everybody, 91% of people think that's funny? 91%.
No, I don't want steak now. I'm having steak for dinner is definitely not funny.
No, it's not even a joke.
Yeah. I'm not really sure this thing is either, though. I'm not really sure that this thing is either. I see what you were going for. It's sort of subtle. I don't know.
Did you get the lime?
No, well.
Because if you're making the joke that you're having lime for dinner, then you can't get the lime.
No, come, really?
Yeah, of course you could get the lime.
Now I can't have the lime because I said I'm having limes for dinner, as if right. I really were.
Yes.
The best part about having the Corona is getting the lime, smooshing it in there with your thumb, then tipping it over and expertly letting the carbonation dissipate and not spilling the beer.
It's so much work.
It's the best part of the whole Corona experience.
It's so much work. Why would you bother putting a thing in there and tipping it?
It's a challenge.
I mean, you can't even just put the piece of lime in and leave that, have that be it. You got to tip it.
Oh, no. If you want to max out on the lime, I mean, you got to give it that little charge.
I don't want to max out on the lime. I don't need it at all. Yeah. If I wanted a lime beer, maybe I would get that.
Well, just a hint of lime.
I'm having lime for dinner. I don't know. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I think usually I'm right about this stuff, but so many people hated it or just didn't care about it. Like, I just, maybe I've lost it. Maybe I've lost my ability to know what's funny.
Was this a spur of the moment?
Yes.
Or have you been walking around for 15 years waiting for someone to ask you if you wanted lime in your beer?
No. I have those. This was not one of those.
Okay.
This is just, I just thought of that at that moment, and I was so happy with myself. Like, that's good. Nobody liked it.
It's not that funny.
The waitress laughed, but then my buddy goes, she has to laugh.
Right.
Like,
she
that's
does
true.
Have to laugh.
That's true. I can't even accept that she liked the joke. I know, joke is in quotes.
It's grown on me a little bit.
Yeah, after a 5-minute explanation of the joke, it grew on you. If it takes a 5-minute explanation, it's not a good joke.
Maybe the explanation was great. I'll have a Coroma. Oh, you want lime in that? No, I'm having lime for dinner. All right, well, I'm done. We'll ask Steve Karp if that's funny.
Oh, yeah, we'll dummy him. We'll give it the test.
Hey,
dummy
Steve,
Steve Karp.
I know why you thought we were calling you. He's the hockey writer out in Las Vegas, hockey writer in Las Vegas. He's on the beat. And what does he think will happen in the next couple of days with the Golden Knights? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.